I sort of envisioned a little bit of a different surah, not a vad, but speak more about, it's like, by, you know, like them coming up, and a little bit about the ishtalshos of what it is, where it came from. It's something that the amaratzes about it is tremendous. People just not knowing and understanding where Chachmas Kabbalah came from and what it is and how it is. So I try a little bit to just sort of sketch out some understanding and so on. How do we know that there's another chelik of Torah that's not written? A chelik that's that we don't have any opus for him on it. So the first place is Yechezkel. In Yechezkel you have a whole parish about what the Merkava looks like. And anybody who's a minimal bar das understands that those descriptions and those pictures have to be taken literally. It's not like the curses, because a malach could have a goof. There's no reason why not. It happens not to have one, but it's clear that there's a lot more than greets the eye. That's our first makom where it's clear there's a big parish in Yechezkel. Chazal in the Mishnah say that there is a chelik of Torah that you can't learn with more than one Talmud at a time. That's called Ma'aseh Breishis. And then there's a chelik of Torah that you can't even learn with a Talmud. You Megala Rosh Prokim and so on. That is what we have. And then we have Gemaras, that in the Gemaras of Hagiga allude to all sorts of things like that and talk about a whole chelik of Torah that's different. They were dashing Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Breishis, and Havayis Havayi Barava, and Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Breishis, Sukkot, Shabbasah. You have the Gemara clearly is magdir for us a chelik of Torah that is A, that we don't have ready Sfarim for it, we don't have it anywhere that we know of, and it's off limits for most people, many people, the Chulu. That's clear if a person is a Maimon in Torah Shebiktav, and a person is a Maimon in Torah Shebaalpeh, that's what's there. We find allusions to, there's a Sefer called Sefer Yetzirah, a small Sefer. The Gemara calls something a Sefer Avraham Avinu made. The Kuzari brings it. Kuzari is very early. Kuzari brings it, mentions it. We have different in the Goinim. We have a Pirush on Sefer Yetzirah, the Kuzari Goinim. We have here and there, in the very, very early Shari, mentions of different Chachmas and so on. There was a Yid called Moshe de Leon who lived in Spain, and he lived from 1240 to 1310, 1320, that Kufa, which basically sort of overlaps with Ramban, for instance, and he was the first one to start writing. He gave out, people would order by him, and he gave out a Zohar. People would come to him, he had the ksavim of it, and he would write it, and people would order it, and he would get it. That was the first gilui of that sefer. we have, and Lemaisa the Ramban quotes bits and pieces from Medrash, he calls it Medrash Hanela, Medrash this, Medrash that. There's different names for it, but he quotes pieces that we have that are part of the Zohar and so on. There was a contemporary Moshe de Leon, a little bit later than him, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Aku, who also wrote Kabbalah's form, he explained Kabbalah in the Ramban, but his own things, and he wrote that he came and he interviewed Rabbi Moshe de Leon's wife, the Amana, and she told him that he would write this, he would write it from memory. And enough from memory, he would write it as he wished. And he wasn't copying anything, it was just whatever he felt like writing, he wrote, and he said, soul's better, something like that, a whole story like that. And that's the first marker where people raised doubts about it. He then had Charotiv Snarku and said he found out that that's not true. Not clear, we lost the rest of the Sefer, and we don't know why he had Charot and so on. But that's that Sefer was in the Skabel immediately. Ramban brings it without saying, hey, they just found a Nuksaviyat. It's not. Ramban brings it as something that's Chai V'Kaim. He quotes bits and pieces. He has, uses different names. The Rashba, and so on. It was Niskabel. There was no error in those Tkufis. Let's explain something about the nature of Sfarim. It's important to understand it. When you have a Ksaviyat, it's somebody's notebook. And people add comments, take off comments, and so on. If somebody looks at a Rishon that's put out well, the person will write where Gatik is for Yadis, the different level of how much mistakes are on the Ksaviyat, comparison, stuff like that. Nothing like that was done with the Zohar. We have no idea what it is. It's as looking at it as a Sefer, it's a hodgepodge of drushes vaguely aligned with the Parsha. Additional Sfarim that are in it that we have no idea, is it part of it, not part of it? Raya Mehemna and Megillas Nesterim. What exactly is it? And in the Etzem Zohar itself, there are it's vague, it's sort of drushim on the parishes, some vague connection, and then there are sections in it that seem to be of a special significance. I'll mention two or three of them. There's something called Safed et Sneyasa, which is considered to be the core limud of it. And I think the Goyen says it's like the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is the Gemara, that's the Zohar. There's something called the Idur Rabbah, which was when Shimon Choy sat with his Talmidim and taught them the major in Yonim. And the Drizuta that he taught them the last things that things that he didn't complete B'chayev. This was on his last day of his life. He completed all everything he needed to say, and with that, basically, he's finished his life. And B'chol, it's a very, very powerful, very moving piece. So we have no idea of the Seder Advarim, the Tzuras Advarim. We have no idea how much is added, subtracted. There's Efer Shnuchoy wrote it. There's mention of Amoroyim there. There are things there that seem to be notes that somebody put in because he mentions words in Spanish. The thing, it's not a Sefer. The problem is that the physical Sefer that we have, we don't know how good it is in terms of what it is that somebody combines from. There's a lot of unclarity about it. The general consensus, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote a Sefer on it, and basically I think his point, the way he says that, I think is probably what's miskabel, is it has the drushim of Shem Bechoy, it has additions that were made by Meroyim and Tanaim later, and things that people wrote in and got nivla into it. That's basic sense of the Sefer. There was a lot of hot debate about it, but if understandably the maskilin and so on would say this in Moshe Leon's own work. If anybody, Moshe Leon left us two or three sfarim of his own. They sound nothing like the Zohar. They had the style, but nothing about it is similar to it. It's very dry. It's a very different style, very uninspiring style. And the Zohar credits it extremely powerfully. It's long. It has, I think, more words than Shas, maybe, as I think once saw. And there's no reason why someone wanting a few dollars would make such a long chibur, would make it much shorter. Many reasons not, but certainly we don't have any way of knowing exactly what piece comes from where and what. Generally speaking, it is the Shorashtika Seif of Kabbalah we have. It is a very, it's very powerful, extremely moving, very poetic, very, very unclear as to what it means. Learning it and going through it gives you zero information. And it's like somebody learning Chumash and passing up your Chumash. One thing you know, he's got it wrong. That's the one thing, the only one thing you know for sure is that he has it wrong. That's be'erech what it is. Nobody learns Kabbalah from it. If somebody does, it's like somebody learning, like paskening from a Chumash. I think there was, a few years ago, there was some sort of writer, somebody who decided for 1 year to keep all the biblical laws. He was a Karoy Lemahadrin, and it's funny. It's a kind of, read the book, but I saw bits and pieces. You know, it's not as though Shaykh is Tirishkeit, it's not there, it's a Shaykh. The Sefer, and this one, so the Rishonim wrote on Kabbalah, different Rishonim, you had people that we don't know what to make of it. To quote, Rebbe Salvechik was very much against when they would print up Rishonim, very unclear where it came from. He said there were Amaratzim in the days of Rishonim also. I mean, so how do you know if the Ksav Yad is not an Amaratzim Ksav Yad? He said, you know, if people would take everybody's Ksav Yad and publish it, you get some wonderful Kitsuyot, and you get some really awful stuff. There were Amaratzim then also. So there were strange Svarim written. Just because somebody wrote a safe on it, if we don't have. There was somebody the Rashba calls in his Tshuvas, a dreamer, somebody who's, you know, he has very, very meshugna, he very, very sharp terms. This person wrote things that, I don't know, they're strange. And just because it was written by quote unquote a Makubal, and the biggest problem is since you have no way of, at least in Halacha, anybody who's there, their safe has a sense of being able to tell. Dharam Shal Tam, not Dharam Shal Tam, strange, Rofta. You can't tell. In Bemela, there was a lot of different things written. It had a certain surah to it, but wife and Klali, the Kabbalah Rishonim. The one who put it together I guess is the sum total of it was Ramak, Ramesh Kavira. Ramesh Kavira lived in that Kufa in Sfas, in that extraordinary Kufa, in the 1500s. And his firm is famous, Sefer Parashas Rishonim, and then he has in the Zohar called Or Yochar. That's basically the Mahalchim of Rishonim in this Inyanim. I'll try a little bit later to be Mazbe, a little bit the difference and so on. Contemporary to him, almost the same age of him, somebody came along, the Arizal. And the Arizal was a young person, he died young. He was Kedosh Elyon, and it was the Cheshev, one of the Cheshev's Tekufas of Kal Yisrael. The Beis Yosef was there, Meiri Bei Rav, Shaimal Kavitz, the Ramak, everybody, they all sat in front of him, Ka'av de Kamemore, the Rizal, and his works, he writes, are Giluyim. It's not things that he came on his own, but this was a Skal Min HaShemai. And basically, that became the equivalent of Shas to us. This is the starting point. We explain and understand the Zohar based upon what he says. What he says is clear, and clear in the sense that it's not poetic, it's facts, basically, the way he's saying it. And for that we use as a basis for understanding Pshat and Zohar, what the Zohar is talking about. So, and that became exclusive. The general sense is that the Kabbalah Rishonim was at Kufa, and the Kabbalah we have, the Rizal, that's the Torah service. That's what it stands on. He had a few Talmidim. The one that there were some who put out Ksavim. Tachlis Reb Chaim Vitalis, Shmuel Chaim Vitalis is Ksavim, the ones that was a Skabel, and that became the mainstream. That became it. The Sfarim we have and the main safe, so we have a few of the main safe we have, and again, these are Sfarim went to many Gugulim, but the main safe we have from the Rizal is called Eitz Chaim, that is the Aleph Beis and Yesodis of this Chachma and so on. The difference is incredible. The Zohar Kodesh is a very powerful, moving, poetic, it's Shira of a Sefer. The Rizal is very dry, very, very matter of fact. And so on. And Tachlis, there are Svarim that have been written explaining, you know, post-Arizal. There's a Kepeda only to go with Arizal and specifically Chaim Vital's, the different parshanim basically claim to be just mevasbe mevaya what the Rizal said and make it accessible. That's the mal. I want to try a little bit next. That's more or less what we have. I want to try to explain a little bit more what it is. What it is, why is it meant to be kept away from Tzibur? What is it meisif to us? And I guess where it went, the different drachen that it went to. I want to use a mashal. And I hope I can make the mashal. I can try to... I hope the mashal will be understandable. Hopefully, a mashal that needs a hesber is not a good mashal. A mashal should be giving the hesber, not giving it. Let's take an example. I look around at a phenomena. I look around at something that's happening. And the mashal, the hotter it is outside, the less people come to shul. That's I'm sure not Miami, but another city. That's a fact. Now, I can express it in a few ways. I can walk into the shul, and I can see less people. I can make a graph and show where the temperature is and the line. I can write an equation. X squared would be the temperature squared, and 1 over y would be how many people, what percent of people are still coming to shul. And that would be a way of demonstrating it. So an equation, a graph, and looking around and seeing people and so on and so forth. The myla of the equation is that it gets to the core of it. It's the 3 times the degrees squared, the degrees plus something will give you the amount of drop of attendance. You can't get more clear than that. Most people despise equations and do not like them from the very early childhood because it's abstract, it's not informative. And it gives you something you can't, and you don't find it enjoyable at all. It's something that you have to suffer through school. It's not like reading and becoming bar mitzvah. You have to do math and move on. That's basically the mahalach hadvar. A graph is more understandable, and it's more visible for most people. Most people get a sense out of it. It's already a little. It's already taking down a notch because I'm limiting. The equation is bigger than the graph I see. The equation could be dealing with other things also. But and finally, most people, when they see amount of people in shul, an equation of how much the metal bends when the heat goes up or down, all of these things, the metzias is very, very real, but it's very limited, and I lose out from it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon and Chachma comes down to us levels. In other words, the Baal Tanya says this, and I can take a few places. The Shulchan Aruch says it in one place. The Shulchan Aruch says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, he speaks about mitzvahs that were given the wake of a chet. So he said, how could it be that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Torah 2,000 years before the world, so that means the world, the Olam HaMitzvahs existed before the Maisim happened, so how could it be before the Chet? The Baal HaTanya has a Maimah where he speaks about a Zohar HaKadosh. Zohar says that the sticks that Yaakov Avinu peeled were a pchin of tefillin, because it was white and black. Okay, I mean, that's not a tefillin, it's not... So basically, they say that a mitzvah itself is a certain sheirish, and it could be mislavish in different ways. Marshall, I can speak to somebody about chesed. I speak about chesed, the person goes, and one person takes the other person, helps them buy something, one person gives something to somebody, one person does this. The chesed is an abstract form, and it takes on more specific dugmas as becomes concrete. Mm-hmm. Now, let's understand the miles of both ends. When I speak about chesed, it's a more emes, because I'm speaking about the idea that becomes details in many different ways. But when you say a beautiful maim on chesed, you don't get the response that you get when you hold up a picture of somebody in desperate need of money and asking people to give money for it. I'm always amazed, you know, Vedama Milsa Milsa, we think in yeshiva we teach Milsa Milsa, Dam Milsa Milsa. I'm, you know, whenever I go to wash my hands in the yeshiva sink, somebody's filling up the things with water. Why? Because there's a story that chesed means when someone asks you for water, you do it. Avos chesed is you fill up the water for a person before you ask for it. Now, I have two horrors on this lemaisa. First of all, they don't realize the story was said about when you have to pump, go outside and pump up water. Turning on the faucet and leaving water in the thing, first of all, it just makes a mess. And it's no tircha. I don't think in my wish list, having water waiting for Milsi Dayan occupies a very, very low spot. I have a long list. It's very fast. On the other hand, the Beis Medrash is full of sfarim that people can put away. So that means somebody has to go and spend an hour and a half schlepping back the stuff, Baruch Hashem, every sfarim. So nobody made the tzushtel that this point of the story is to think of what other people are going to have to do. And that, because, I don't know, the problem is, chesed is a concept, so I inherit. On the other hand, once it's mislabish, once it takes on a specific form, that's the form it takes, and it's dead. That's all it is. I remember Rav Volbo once spoke. This was when he was still in Ber Yaakov, and we'd come to Yerushalayim. And he spoke before Yom Kippur, was very powerful. He spoke about Midas Emes, and someone asked him afterwards, why didn't the Mashgiach speak something practical, Lemaisa? Said, if I would have spoken practical Maisa, everyone would stick with the mush like Eve. I'm trying to give an idea, an ideal. So sticking with that mush is not going to do. So in Torah also, there is a practical lemaisa of something, and then there is more abstract. If a person wants to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu is on Haggis in this world, so I can start at the bottom and say the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants a world that people are good to each other, people are mative, that there's achdus, that there's kirva, and so on. And that's certainly an emes. But it's the result, that is to the sheirish, the way doing, you know, one particular chesed is to a sheirish. The more I want to get the closer I get to a sheirish of inyan, that's understood as being more emes. The yachas of a sheirish to just like if I dare chesed as a person living outside of himself, losha, just using tongue, it's a more sharp definition and a more emes definition than when I give an example. A kid when he starts to learn, he can't handle abstract things. So a kid, you give a lot of mashalim, and the kid sticks with the mashal. You hope that with time he gets out the nekuda. Reb Chaim's point in Lomdus, Reb Chaim's Erech HaLimud was to take the different details and try to get what's the insight, what is the concept that really is that everything is simply an embodiment of, an example of. So in the Olam of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shlomo Zan Hag in the Bria, we can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megalatos, a Sheirish type of Limut. And that is basic on Haggis, and everything is sort of a Mahalach of how it comes into this world. It gives you a tremendous kli for putting things together. It's like the difference between a person walks into a hospital and he sees a lot of things going on, but he knows nothing. He's a primitive person, he doesn't know about medicine or anything out there. So everything is separate. This one has such a machine, this one has a machine with a light, this one has a machine, this one has a machine, that. A person who understands it has a certain structure. There is surgical intervention, there's care, there's this, there's that. This belongs to this, this belongs to this, this belongs to this. Like the Ramchal says, everything has itself. So Elon, and you have branches and twigs and so on. That is the tremendous mila of what's called Chochmas Ha'emes, that it allows you to get to a Sheirish, and b'meila, everything else comes out on it. It's now, real Kabbalah is about as interesting and about as interesting to people as is mathematical equations. That's the truth. That results be'etzem limudim are dry, and you know they're way before anything lemaisa. They're way before explaining anything. They're explaining all sorts of anhugis, and you know it's basically extraordinarily dry for most everybody, and very few people really stick to that as such. And I'll explain a little bit where different drachim went with it. The reason why it was kept from the Hamayin Am has nothing to do with the fact that you can build golems with it. Baruch Hashem, we have enough golems. There's no. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. The problem is, it's extraordinarily delicate. You, in order to say something, you have to use words. And every word about the Ribono Shel Olam runs the danger of a person being megashemit, a person being, making it into something gashmis. When I speak about Kadosh Baruch Hu's yamin and small, if I even entertain a faint sense of right and left, I'm a bona fide apikoros. So understanding things that are very abstract, and it's one thing if a person doesn't chaper b'chaim's lamdas. So worst comes to worst, he's wasting his time. But if a person doesn't hop this stuff and he gets fixated on it, then we have a real problem. The person, and it's very difficult for a person to have that fine level of tfisa and havana to be able to live with just a concept. Just like, that's why, like I said, equations don't work well for us. At least a graph, we have a line that waves. When we have little pieces, you know, like little people in the graph, it's even better. And we need something physical, and most people, and if you do that, that becomes chas v'shalom. So it was something where, A, it was meant not to be martial people. Two, it's not something you can give over in words if the person doesn't have that level of aptitude of understanding it. So the words themselves are already crude. Basically, it's like Lamashal. If somebody is autistic and he's trying to explain art, he's trying to explain why this is a right balance, because it's not a right balance call. All the words he's going to use are not going to be effective to a person that has no autistic sense. Somebody who has a sense, the words will be more, I'm getting it. I see it. It's not balanced. It's whatever it is. Music, art, all these things that you don't have. A person who's not a maven me'atzmai is going to... a person who's not maven me'atzmai is not going to get it. And you can talk and say the words and can play it all day long. Not going to happen. That was the reason why it was kept away. That's the reason why it was. What happened with it, Lamaisa? For the people that learn it, for the people that are Isaac in it, we're talking to Gdol Olam, and for the people that were given, that it was felt this is a derech to bring people in and so on. So there were three, four basic mahalchim. I'll try to explain. What did they do with it, Lemaisa? So many of the Sephardim, especially Rashash, the Yemenite, the Sephardi, they felt it needs to stay at the abstract level. giving any mishalim, giving any fleshing out of stuff, anything like that, is spoiling it, it's wrong, it's ma'akim. What you do is you learn Darizal, and you learn it as such. You learn it as like a brisket would learn kachim with dinim. It's not a question of svaris, not a question of anything, just a question of what applies where. There are kashas, there are terutzim, it's a limud. In one place says this, one place says this. This must be talking about this, this must be talking about this. But it's all thises that have no shaykhus to anything in the world. It's all things that are hanhagis, zivugim, different combinations of hanhagis when they happen. No shaykhus, but you're dan and you're mafalpul and you're aimed through by comparing the different sugyas, what's where and true. And just like a person, mathematician, can deal with X, Y, and Z, even though he'll never know what the X, Y, and Z is, because it's irrelevant. It's a relationship of X, Y, and Z, and that's how you do with it. What is the Gela Maisa B'Chalzois? So the understanding is for Kavanis and Tefillah. That became very big. You're supposed to be Mechavan and Tefillah with the exact patterns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run in. So just like everything in Tefillah that I do, I'm Mechavan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding the world the way he wants to. By being Mechavan, using the right Mahalchim, Sheamus, and so on and so forth, that makes your tefillah much more perfect, and that's Avodas Hashem. So, by many the Sfardim, the learning Kabbalah was stick always to the just what it says, and the Din of Dvarim is with X, Y, and Z, and no little Hezber, and so on and so forth, because there is no Hezber, and the Tachlis is a person should be Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shleimus. Davening with the Kavanis of the Rashash, Kavanis of the Rizal, Ish Kefi, Erkoi, to do what he's supposed to do. That was one Mahalach. A second Mahalach was the Chassidish Mahalach. And that also took on two, three forms. One was, they did not encourage learning Kabbalah, and they're against it. Even Chabad, they're against learning Kabbalah. But, and we'll take each one separate. Chabad is different than the other ones. Chassidim took a welt of musagim into Avodas Hashem. In other words, by understanding, by using the X, Y, and Z's and figuring out what the graph looks like, and then figuring out what the pieces look like, it helps me give you a tam in the mitzvah. And I say it, and I'll say it in a way that will inspire you that this mitzvah is creating Hashuras HaShchina or whatever it is, that becomes inspirational and it enhances Avodas Hashem. So they took a select vocabulary and made that a very part chelik of the Musar, of how to put and encourage a person to Avodas Hashem. Chabad went a step further and the Alter Rebbe incorporated a limited number of musakim that help a person be mizbonein in godless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all sweeping in the world and how much his hug is all sweeping, and it's very uplifting for a person to be mizbonein that way and to the heritage. So there's a certain amount, again, there's a kepeda. The Rebbe brought down, the Alter Rebbe brought in certain musakim that's spoken about a lot. Anything else, Yechidei school, like everybody else. A third Mahalach was Ramchal, who explained ideas philosophically. Philosophy means they make sense in things in with Seichel also. The Ramchal was able to bring many ideas down into ways that I guess, like philosophy makes sense. So these anhagas are not, so I would say, going back to much like the graph, it's not only just an equation, it has a mahalach. You see, I get it. But if you know, anybody who sees and knows how equations get onto graphs, like 2x equals y has a certain graph, x squared equals y has a certain graph. And you see the mahalach and it makes sense. Yes, because as it's increasing, it's not increasing with the same amount. It's increasing a lot more by how much it's increasing. So I get it. This becomes a very sharp curve. There's a certain Ramchal's works, there's a certain level with the inyanim that he brings, they snap in at a philosophical level, at its concepts, but they're not just, you know, hanhagis and meaningless hanhagis teg. They make sense. There were people that had tainus Ramchal that it's too much, so on, but definitely that mahalach was an extremely, an attempt to conceptualize it. The Goyen was unique, and the Goyen himself, the Goyen's Torah belongs probably to the chelik of Remes. And the Goyen, what the Goyen does is he points out to you what belongs where. Usually, if you have seichel, you know, if you have understanding, it opens up something for you. So just like the mashal, if somebody look at the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch, you know, L'chura, all he's doing is bringing down Mara Makomas. You know, you'd think today with a computer, you'd put him out of business. The Goyans, Mara Makomas, are not Mara Makomas. He's explaining why the Shulchan Aruch is coming from. He's explaining that Shulchan Aruch come from here and not from here. Sometimes he won't give an obvious, he'll give something else. You know, the Goyan is showing the outline. That's what he does, is what we have. That's what he does. So, Lamasha, in a sefer which is not Kabbalah dick, but it's a sefer Deres Al Yon Chumash. So, in some parts, like in Dvarim, Kabbalah, he'll go. So, the four things that he gave to Levi is Kineget. These four, those four, the other four. Again, it's not a random, somebody needed to say, Josh, he put together these four Kineget, these four. The Goyen said, these four things are Kineget, these four things, and not other things. Or other things and not these things. That's implicit. So the Goyen's Kabbalah is very much, you know, the way he goes. Hard to tell, he enlightens you by showing patterns of understanding and zustels, but it's very, very hard directly to know from him. His big Talmud was Nachman Lashklov. We didn't have his Ksavim for many years, and the very difficult ones. His Talmud's Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava, was very, very, I call it user-friendly. He tried to be masbe. It is, for literature people, it is the most, that and the Leshem was much later, the most, he explained. They explain themselves. They explain it in a way that is, I guess, a person who has like a lomish capacity understands mahalchim in it. It's not quite Ramchal, but it's similar. So the Goyen's cheder in the broad scope was, it's there to learn, to understand, but with tremendous sahiras to understand it only with a ketushtik in mind. Not bring it into your prasim sagim, but it has havana and hasbara. Those are the main mahalchim, how it came into our world. I want to finish by explaining what the tremendous uftu is. Why is it so important? What did we gain out of it? So, a person looks to understand. A person wants to understand. And we always, understanding means trying to figure out where this belongs in the scheme of things. So, the mashal, we'll take a parson like Shamshal Hirsch. Shamshal Hirsch wrote his Pirushim for German Jewry in the 1800s. He was trying to explain Kolatari Kula for them in their language. I don't mean German. I mean in their understanding. The Nakuda, the central Nakuda is, how does humanity become a perfect society? And he shows how all of Torah creates the perfect society, where there's justice, understanding, continuity, and chulu. So the context is a certain context of what is the best society, and Kol HaTorah Kula is explained that way. It is a true explanation. It's Torah's emes. But it's Torah's emes in a certain context. When you look at the early philosophical sfarim, the context that they were explaining Torah in was Aristotelian philosophy. So the world has four Yesodis, there's these Koiches, there's this and that, and all of Torah is explained in terms of that vocabulary of Musagim. The problem with it is that, so let's say it's Torah is Zayin Pan LaTorah, but you're automatically explaining, you're translating Torah in another language, and that's problematic, because by explaining Torah in another language, you are losing something. It's true that Torah tells how to build a very good society, but what's distorted is the caption of Torah is not the book on building a very good society. It's not the world has certain elements of a Yesodos, things like that, but the Torah is not the book for that. The Torah has it in it, but it's not the book for that. The Kabbalah meant that Torah explains itself mineu bei. There are mahalchim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to put in the Bria. There's mahalchim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria. And all of Torah draws its central meaning from that those internal mahalchim. It's basically like there's a custom-made suit or having to make do with somebody else's suit. If your suit's dirty, you take your brother's suit, let's say, you put it on. He's shorter, he's longer, he's taller, he's heavier. You push, you pull, you do what you have to do. This is the status. You have no choice. But when you get something custom made, it's very different. The whole Torah in its different forms, whether Chassidisha, whether Goyim's Cheder, or Chal's Cheder, all the different Eifanim, it allowed for us to understand that Torah does not need to explain itself in the context of anything else. It has its own havana, its own mitzvah, its own meaning, and mine obey. Whether we understand more, understand less, it was a major change, a major shift in how it's sechus the Torah. In the last door, there were people, and let's go, this is like the final leg of it. The Maral did something incredible. The Maral's goddess was A, he's mevasis all of his Hesberim of Chazal on this idea that Minei Ubei, they're not coming to answer something else, they have meaning themselves, they have to be drawn out. The Maral does not use Kabbalah language, a handful of places he alludes to the Zohar or something like that, and he always sort of says it, something like that. That's the code word that he uses. But he was able to take those musagim and recast them in words that can make sense to anybody, even not knowing that chachma. It means to be able to take the havana and the tfisa without the vocabulary. That really is a lot of what the Maral did. In our dar, Zocha, there were two people that really brought this into the world. Rav Hutna Zechanei Vracha. Rav Hutna drew from everything and everywhere. His Pachad Yitzchak does not contain one mention to the Arizal, to the Zohar. He doesn't contain any words that come from the world of Kabbalah. He did not allow in his Beis Medrash a Zohar. Rav Hutna was, and yet, what he did was he retranslated it the way the Maral did, into language, into concepts, ideas that everybody is familiar with, into Rashi's and Rabbi Yoina's, and it's incredible, and it's a tremendous havana and tfisa. I know from years of giving tests, if you ask a bacher to say Obishtekel Torah, and he says it over exactly where he heard it, it's 100% sure that he doesn't understand it. It's when he could put it in his own words, then he understood it. When you say over things exactly where they are, then you haven't understood it. It's a baruch benusa. Because if I really understood it, I would automatically say it over my words. They were able to take these concepts, chew them up, and present them into a different world of Musaka. That's what they did it. And a whole door, b'meila, the door was nimshach to these lemudim, ishkefi erkoi, mitzad mikoyach for the right reasons. Wow, what an or gadol. I understand something that I don't understand. Let me see where he gets his things from. And you learned how to chew up those makairis and be able to give it over. Second person, so I was zeichatir of Hutna. Again, I started as a young boy, and it was extraordinary. I mean, his the mashiach of his words was extraordinary, and you know, it obviously fired my imagination and appetite and so on, as it did many bachim and young light. I was zeichatir for many more years, much closer kesher to my Shapiro's friend of Racha. My Shapiro used more the language of Kabbalah. He would struggle with it. He would struggle very hard to not use it in the public shurim, in the private shurim, depending on the level of the Shemea, he would be more open to using it. He struggled with it because he wasn't sure, but he had a gift of giving over things. You know, he could explain things where, well, instead of just words, instead of just equations, but when somebody shows you that equation, how it becomes a graph and how it becomes people, that's extraordinarily eye-opening. So, and Rav Moshe had it, tremendous koyach. It was an or gadol in the dar, and I mean, thousands of people listened to him at different levels. And again, his very public shiur, his Thursday shiur, he rarely used words or terms like the Arizal. Occasionally he would say, he had code words for Zohar, he would say Chazal said, he wouldn't say it quite in the Lashon Zohar, but basically he was a little more open, and that was his knage. But he was able to give over, the uftu wasn't that teaching Kabbalah is wrong, teaching understanding is right. And therefore people learned not to say just words, but people learn to understand. And I guess, so like Baima was a yontiv that until 100 years ago was totally unknown. There's a letter from somebody, Shiva Mani came to heaven, Shiva, and he wrote home a letter. They have this strange yontiv in Eretz Yisrael, never heard of, like Baima, and you don't know where this holiday came from, and you know, and so on. It was totally unknown in Europe. They were in Lit, it was completely unknown. It was a day when you didn't say Tachton and you could shave. I mean, that was the sum total of it. In some other Chassidish Kreis, and they had more, and that sort of became very big. To Sfarim, with the Arizal, maybe a Sheikhis. But it has a certain the understanding that for everybody, I guess, Chachmas HaKabbalah gave us Ha'ara, that Torah is emes minei ubei, that it doesn't need to depend on its shroshim that are outside of it. It's self-sufficient in terms of shroshim. It also, I mean, you know, Rav Moshe Shapiro was a tremendous mashpia on many people, and you know, in terms, even many, you know, he was mashpia on Yud Shamei Chacham. He was mashpia on people that were not from. He was a good debater, he could answer questions, but most people were mushed from the fact that when he opened his mouth, there was so much chachma in what he said, so much oyer, that you said, I see the emes, you know, the current of emes. I don't need to answer the questions. I've seen some of that. And that oyer is possible because of it. It's not just the words, and it's one of the problems of the world, because everything is so available that we got used to using the words. And the words of Kabbalah do nothing. It's the understanding, it's the tfisa. So the shorish dika tfisa, that Torah is a minei ubei dika havana tfisa, is very important. The cheder that I come from, the literature world and so on, where this gave a whole world of understandings, of Havana, of Tfisa, and Torah, the Olam HaChassidus, where using, for whatever reason it is, the words of the Zohar HaKadosh, the words of that Torah is tremendously mashpia on a person's heart, neshama. You see it, you feel it, there's a warmth, and something about that, the words and that's why that said the difference between Arizal and the Zohar Kaddish is worlds. The Zohar Kaddish is an extraordinarily moving sefer. Even the words inspire, even if you're not sure what exactly they're going to, what exactly it's referring to. And then there's a world of big oivdim who kavanis could be mechaven. That's a world beyond us. But if a world like that exists, then it's ma'isef kedusha to Klal Yisrael. Like upon him, I just wanted to sketch out a little bit, a sense of it, so that at least we know what we're talking about. What you're talking, you know, it's an understanding a little bit of where it came from, what its tachlis is, where it's mashpia to us, what the different mahalchim are, and we should be zeichet that kashrus shemiri naim, and you know, we should open up our eyes, understand, and have the lichtigkeit that understanding brings to a person's shama.
Amen.